What's up, friends? It's Haley, aka Bird.
And Randy.
And you're listening to the Give 'em the Bird podcast.
This podcast is all about challenging what it means to be healthy, fit, female, and everything in between.
It's about pushing back on societal expectations, dismantling the status quo, and celebrating life in the gray area.
And most importantly, it's about giving the bird to living life any way but your own way. Thanks for tuning in.
Now, let's give 'em the bird. Welcome back to another episode of Give 'em the Bird podcast. Haley and Randy here, and we are joined by Dave Haggerty, who is a doctor of physical therapy and strength and rehab coach. Dave, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm stoked to be here.
Yes, I'm super excited. I know Randy is too. Before we get into all things strength, rehab, pain, physical therapy, can you tell us a little bit more about you?
Yeah, so I'll generally try to keep it brief. I'm a physical therapist by my doctorate. I've been a personal trainer, like a strength coach, in some capacity for, 2010 is when I got my first like credential with that. Me and my wife live in Iowa, in the Iowa City area. I've had my own business for about 3 years right now. I love talking about health and fitness and strength and conditioning and kind of negating or at least discussing stupidity in those spaces as well. or just stuff that just doesn't make sense that we do it anyway. But I love psychology. I love reading. And that's kind of my background here.
I love it. I also follow your wife. Who, shout out Mary, you don't know me, but I know you. And maybe I'll be reaching out to you to get on the podcast as well. And you have a dog. Tell us about your dog, right?
Phoebe, she's a sheep doodle. We had to go with the hypoallergenic dog. I wanted to adopt, but just things worked out from an allergy standpoint. So we love our dog. She's about two. She's the best freaking dog ever. We love her so much. So
she's super cute. I love when either you or your wife share videos or pictures of her.
What is this breed? Is like a Shiba Inu mix?
No, it's a sheep dog, English sheep dog.
Yeah, okay.
Poodle mix.
Oh, so goodness.
We stumbled upon someone in southern Missouri that we were at an ice cream stop and they're like, yeah, we had a litter. And we're like, holy crap, are you selling? And they're like, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was very just fortuitous, very lucky. And we love her very much. It's crazy how much, how positive she makes our life, which is good. So. Yeah.
I also appreciate that I can tell from the Believe sign behind you that you're a Ted Lasso fan. So
yeah, love that. I actually just hung a big Believe thing in my garage gym. I love that show. So going back to dogs really quick, I think dogs, owning a dog will increase your life expectancy. So don't quote me on specific statistics, but I think it's 10 years. So it's a bump to your lifespan. There's a lot to that.
Each dog?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. There's probably diminishing returns, like most things, right? I haven't even watched the last episode of Ted Lasso because I don't really want it to end. So
I was very sad when it ended. So I feel you there, for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so one thing that we have seen on your Instagram is you talk about an anti-fragile mindset. And so we just wanted to kind of find out from you, what that means and, or how you define it and why that's important in the context of, physical rehab and just overall well-being.
Well, so it's a great question. And so the term in the English language, there was no, antonym for fragility or for fragile. There's resilient, and this is from he's a trader slash economics guy. His name's Nassim Nicholas Taleb. And he coined the term anti-fragile because the opposite of fragile is not resilient. It's literally you benefit from stress, right? And so stress is a big stress is a very nebulous term. Like, really, like, there's so many things that we can consider. Like, really, everything is kind of a stressor, right? There's just positive benefit to it, or there's negative, right? And so our medical establishment, if you want to call it that, it kind of makes people fragile. Like, it makes people afraid to do stuff. We're very risk averse because of just so many different things. And so I worked on a neurosurgery floor as a nursing assistant before physical therapy school. And I just, people would come out of the hospital, like, if they were physically feeling better, they were mentally not feeling better, right? They were afraid. They weren't really empowered. There's so much to health in the United States. Like, there's just so many factors, and I don't want to make it seem like we're doing things like on purpose, but it's just like being a parent. I'm not a parent yet, so I'm not criticizing parents. I know how hard, I know it's going to be really hard when that comes, but like, you can't protect your kids from everything, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to allow them to go through stuff and see that they can come out on the other side of it. Right. And like, so when it comes to pain and injury or doing strength training or running or whatever, like, the benefit really comes from knowing that, like, oh, I did too much, or I had this knee pain, or I had this pain, but I course corrected and I'm on the other side of it now. Like, that's how you build confidence, right? And so, like, an anti-fragile mindset is like, my general values are to just, if I can't help you, I'm not going to hurt you in the words that I use, because that's a big part of it. We talk about degeneration. We talk about malalignment. We use these words that are frankly scary because people don't understand them, right? Mm-hmm. Or everybody thinks that everything is torn all the time, or that. And these are not criticisms of people. Like, I've literally spent 12 years of my life trying to just understand this stuff, and I'm still figuring it out, right? But like, humans are really freaking resilient when we're given the opportunity to demonstrate that, and we're given support. So I'm not just the only person in the rehab space to kind of talk about anti-fragility. There's a lot more people like realizing it, because it's just like physical training. Like, if you do it decently, like, if you don't crush yourself every day for 7 days a week, you adapt and you can get stronger. And that's kind of the big thing. Like, a lot of times, I don't know if you guys have ever heard like of post-traumatic growth, which is after a traumatic event where you can either kind of learn from it, and it doesn't mean that it made it okay, but we can grow from it, or we can like shrink back and, you know, stay in that same space. And again, there's a lot to that, but like, that's what anti-fragile mindset, like, it's about empowering people, showing people how strong they can become. And just frankly, like, life's better because you're just not afraid of everything, and you're not afraid of your body, because that's a big piece of it too. We just get afraid of our body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I kind of feel like you got started to get at this a little bit, but I'm kind of curious, what in your experience are some maybe common misconceptions about pain management and rehab? Because I think you were kind of talking about that a little bit when we look at like our traditional medical model. Some of those things definitely come to mind, but yeah, I'm curious, what are some really common ones that you hear from folks, whether that you've worked with or that you learned in schooling, et cetera?
The hardest thing to convey to people is that like, pain is not mean that something is damaged. Like, there's just too much complexity in our body and in our mental faculties and like how we understand these things. And even emotionally, like, I'm sure you guys have both had like emotional struggles that left you physically exhausted or physically struggling, right? And so like, whenever we have physical pain, we associate it with, oh, some tissue must be broken, right? And this is like, this is what we call like the biomedical or the biomechanical model of like pain. And at this, humans are just way too complex. We're way more complex than that. Like, I talk about this a lot in my content, and because it's really empowering if you take it as it is. It's like, we're a physical creature. Like, we have a body, and pain is a protective mechanism. Like, if you hurt your knee acutely, like, pain tells you that something's up. We need to manage this, right? And like, you know, there's more and more people just like tearing their ACL, or we're seeing more people tearing their ACL or having like an, you know, you watch football and it's like there's injuries every 5 minutes, right? Those are very acute physical injuries, and there might be tissue issue like going on. But when we have these longer term moans and groans that people come up, they're more of like a chronic symptom of things, right? But what happens is we also like to make things make sense. So we go to a physician or we go to a doctor and we want answers, and they're like, yeah, so your hips are out of alignment. And it's like, well, not like most people's hips are not really out of alignment. Your just hips feel wonky. And so you think, oh, I'm going to do something to put them back in place. And they feel better. And it's not because you were out of alignment. It's because you did something. Like you did a strengthening exercise, or you had somebody relax and help you. Like I literally just got a massage. Felt great. Love my massage therapist. Is she like fixing anything? No, I'm laying on a table for 60 minutes getting rubbed on in a way that feels good to me. Right. Like, and I'm not trying to say that that's great. Like you should love somebody who's willing to do that to you. Cause my wife sure as hell ain't going to do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? But, which is vice versa. Right. So, when it comes to this stuff, is what we do is we almost get these like very simplistic explanations that are kind of fear based, and we like pitch them as like a solution. Oh, like every problem just boils down to, oh, your neck hurts. It's because the bones in your neck are out of alignment. And it's like, huh, it's just not where there's so much redundancy. And like, there's nothing wrong with like getting an adjustment. Like it's the narrative and how we talk about those things. Like to truly put you like, if adjustments were doing anything special, or like if they were like maybe constrained, like getting hit by another person in a football game, like if you were fragile, it would destroy you, but we can handle like that load over time. Whereas people will like say like, oh, you can't handle this amount of stress, or it's not good for you. You know, a common one that I hear about is like that deadlifts are bad for people's back. And it's like, no, like they're actually really great for building strength and capacity and tolerance for movement. You just have to start where you're actually at, not where you want to be. Right. And that's the tricky part a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And so I guess one of our questions that we had kind of pitched to you ahead of time was like, how do you help people overcome pain? What are some of the strategies you use? But in hearing you speak, I'm thinking maybe overcome is not maybe the word you would use, but how do you help people better understand their pain and start to feel better, and kind of cultivate that anti-fragile mindset? Like what are some of the strategies and concepts you use?
The most evidence-based things like are often like people want reassurance that is not grounded in like false optimism. So just realistic reassurance, and then showing them, there's Phoebe, my dog, showing them what they can do to manage like symptoms. Like, you know, I tweaked my neck on Monday. Like I was doing snatches in my workout, and like, I just felt it, and I'm like, ah, like it sometimes happens. Right. So as opposed to me freaking out, and a lot of this is because I just have a lot of experience and knowledge. It's like, all right, well, what can I do? So I start to move my neck in ways that maybe like poked into pain a little bit, but also I did stuff that felt good. Right. And I just also like took a deep breath. And what happens a lot of times is when we hurt, it's not just that the pain sucks. It's that we're worried about, okay, how's driving going to be tomorrow? Oh, how's giving that presentation, am I going to look like an idiot? Or because I can't turn my neck, right? We just start to layer on all these things. And so what you help people do is realize like, okay, I can do something about this. I can also, I always kind of say like, if pain is a fire, right? There's physical fuel, there's emotional fuel, and there's mental fuel. Like we think about it. We also get like literally like visceral sensations. So manage the physical, and don't add any more fuel to the mental and the emotional as best you can. So like live as best you can in the moment. And a lot of this stuff is like, go for a walk. Like if you hurt your shoulder, do more lower body training, and then like let your shoulder heal, and we'll figure out ways to help it feel good. But a lot of it is just like, what can we do? And like giving people a path and supporting them on that path. And honestly, for me, a lot of times I'm like, there's no quick fix. Like, you can do stuff to make you feel good, and that's fine, but like, it's not just going to go away. And just to go back to your point, Randy, it's like, overcome's a great way to put it, but it's a lot like I've been in a pretty bad depressive episode in my life. And my mom's sister, so my aunt went through, and she's like, she went through some depression. 2020 was a wild year. You guys all know this, right? Like, yes. And she's like, yeah, she's just fighting the depression. I'm like, you don't fight depression. You accept how you feel and you figure out like what you can do as best possible. Like, and mm-hmm. so acceptance of, we've made pain unacceptable in our culture. Like, we've kind of like, it's literally like a narrative that you should never be in pain. And it's like, if you didn't have pain, you would be screwed, because it's a sensor, but it's, mm-hmm. and it's also a warning system. But the problem, like with any warning system, is it can go out of whack and you have to learn to recalibrate it. Right. And then just like a lot of why I love strength training, why I love training in general, also why I love mindfulness and meditation is, you just start to see, like, you detach from it a little bit and you just see how capable you are despite it. And that's what I think is really cool.
Well, one thing I was going to ask is, you know, you mentioned, the, you know, that we label pain as kind of a bad thing in our society. And, you know, I can confirm, I have family members who experience pain, and it's just like this never ending, like, I'm in so much pain. It's never going to get better. So how do you address, like, some of the emotional aspects, some of the mindset issues around that pain, and some of the stigma too with like chronic pain?
Yeah. I think the first part is, you like, this is kind of a weird way to say it, but like, I can validate you as a human and like love you as a human, but I can also challenge your thinking about the things that you're going through, mm-hmm. because it really does become this self-fulfilling prophecy. And I'm probably going to sound like a, like, for lack of a better word, like a dickhead here, but like, I can love you and I can care about you, but if you're not going to take the actions to try to manage it, then you're just staying stuck. And this doesn't mean that you're going to be pain-free. Like, I mean, like, that's really an unrealistic expectation for humans, is to somehow be pain-free. What you do is, pain is occupying a ton of your headspace and honestly a ton of your life. And what you need to figure out how to do, and this is not easy by any means, is figure out how to make, and I'm using hand gestures, but like, make life much bigger. And right. So it's a lot of things in life. Gosh, you guys, you're getting me ranting on literally the stuff that, like, it's like, personal development, it's, you know, it's being vision oriented, but it's like, literally just make your life as good as you can. And you're mm-hmm. not going to care so much about your back hurting. Mm-hmm. And like, the thing that you want to do, but you feel like you're unencumbered by, like, I remember this old guy when he was great. I loved him. But he would come in and he loved to play golf. And he's like, I just want to play golf again without back pain. And I'm like, great. So let's start getting you moving. And he was just super skeptical. And there is a belief component in it. Like, I'm going to do a book club. If you guys want to be a part of the book club next month, we're reading The Expectation Effect. Mm-hmm. And the problem with expectations is they just become self-fulfilling prophecies. And mm-hmm. so I'm like, when you go golfing, like, are you anticipating that it's going to suck or you're going to have back pain despite the fact that you love golfing? And he's like, yeah, and I'm like, all right, so I want you to try to not like get into that cycle and just like have fun with your golf buddies, like focus on actually putting well, as opposed to how your back feels. And, you know, it wasn't like it was a dramatic thing, but he's like, the next time he's like, you know, it was a little better. I'm like, mm-hmm. cool. Let's keep this going. And then he mm-hmm. kind of started to buy into that he could get stronger and that he could manage it, right? But it was kind of this weird thing, because I'm like, how is your back pain like most of your days? Like, it's really not that bad. It's just when I go play golf. And there's so many factors in this, but like, there's probably some amount of, he was afraid that it would eventually stop him from playing golf. Like, that's a lingering thing in the back of your mind, right? Or that, you know, it's gonna keep getting worse and he's not gonna be able to play like as good as his buddy. Like, there's so many factors, right? But like, when it comes to family or friends, like, you have to like just love them for who they are, but also, like, you know, slowly over time, I just honestly, I think what I try to do is just be a good example. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, like I lift weights 4 times a week. I go for walks, you know, and I feel good. Like I was talking to a friend earlier today, and it's like, I don't really get sick. Like, I'm not sick for very long. I felt like kind of low this week, and it's actually because I realized now I was at a, like a powerlifting meet with like 300 people, and I had like a head cold on Sunday. But and I probably didn't sleep great, but like I didn't feel like I had to take a day off. And so like sometimes just the low level thing just hangs around because you just didn't like do what you needed to do to address a bigger thing. And that's a lot of things. Like, we don't address the things that are just kind of slowly compounding. And that's one of the things that I think that's why people need to address their mental health. Like, I talked to a therapist and I'm okay with that because it was like, I journal and I meditate and I like, I lift weights and I go for walks because you're a whole person. You're a mental and a physical creature and you have emotions. And you can't just drink those emotions away or smoke those emotions away or exercise those emotions away. Like, you have to navigate it all. And the better you get at doing that, I bet the better you're going to feel.
Yeah, that's I actually love this part of it, like the personal development part and how it relates. And I chuckled a little bit when you started talking about your client or patient. Because I'm like, is he talking about my dad? Because my dad is 82 and loves to play golf and his back pain is, you know, preventing him from it or preventing him from playing as well as he wants. And he does always have a negative, like, well, this is going to hurt, you know? And so I'm going to bring some of these thoughts back to him and see what we can come up with. Because
my advice is to just ask like calm and good questions. Cause the people we are closest to, like, they don't really want us to try to change them, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I have slowly, like, my wife, when we first started getting into, like, we got married, she didn't want me to coach her in any capacity, right? And so I don't. Mm-hmm. And now she, like, lifts weights twice a week. She goes, you know, she enjoys it, and she also sees a ton of value in it, right? But, like, whenever I try to do anything, it doesn't come out, right? When I just ask questions, and that's a game you learn, so... And the other thing that, like, you, like, personal development stuff, like, you guys are on both on Instagram, like, cliches, like, posts, like, quotes and stuff, they're super cliche, but they're so true. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't believe you can do something, like, you ain't gonna do it, right? If you, you know, like, fear really is, people don't really understand it, but like the physiologic response to fear that we have, like fight or flight, like people are getting more attuned with this, but then also like people are using it in ways that aren't really good either. Which you guys can probably vibe with that. Like you get people like trying to capitalize on it in ways that aren't beneficial, but like just understanding that like most of us are just walking around day after day, just dosing ourselves with fear, whether it's from the news, whether it's from work, whether it's like XYZ of like parenting or whatever. And you just have to learn to be like, okay, like what can I actually do about this? And that's why I freaking love strength training, because it like gives you the opportunity to break out of that and like show yourself that you're strong and you're capable. And like that's what a lot of pain relief is. Like when like I'm not anti-chiro. I love chiropractors. There's no beef between me and them. But like when you go and you get an adjustment for something, it feels good. And you break the cycle for a little while. Like getting massage felt great. Breaks the cycle of like me, I'm a super tense person. I'm very like, ugh. And so it breaks that cycle and it shows me like, okay, now how do I go capitalize on this and how do I also like manage it? Right. And if we can show like your dad, like if I can give him an hour of relief, that can compound into 4 hours of relief. And then if he buys in enough and keeps doing stuff, that can compound into a day worth of relief. Right. And then that just keeps growing. And that's what a lot of this stuff should be about. Right. And we kind of market it in different ways, but like these little things that you do over time compound.
I love how you are talking about mindfulness as it relates to pain and all of this, I think it makes a lot of sense. And I actually teach mindfulness at the University of Iowa in my full-time job to students. And we talk a lot about how tuning into our bodies can help us become more mindful because we're focusing on like the physical sensations that are happening right here and right now. And I really think that movement, you know, can be a great way to practice mindfulness. And so I'm curious to know, learn a little bit more about how you sort of integrate mindfulness or like mindfulness principles into your work with clients or patients.
It's interesting. It's a good question because there's some people who are way too into their body when they're exercising. Like they're literally like anxious about what they should be feeling like, because the reality of it is like, if you are just learning to squat, like you're not going to know how you should feel, right? Like there's really, when you're doing like a compound movement, like there's really, you're just trying to move. You're just trying to do the movement. You don't need to be worrying about feeling it in your glutes or XYZ. Like, you know, there might be some amount of that and it's an individualized thing, right? But then there's people who don't feel their body at all. And it's like, all right, do you feel like what you're doing here? And let's help you just tune into that, right? So there's like a calibration. You know, I think like one of the things I've really had to try to tune in, like you guys are getting me to go like really deep, which I've just tried to stay at the level of where people are at and then hopefully take them a little bit more into like understanding, right? Because if I just came at everybody, like it would definitely qualify a lot of people out as like, yeah, so we're doing Zen meditation while we're lifting weights, right? Like people are like, get the hell out of here, dude. Like, but in a lot of ways, it really is a form of mindfulness and meditation practice. Like when I was really when I was really in my own funk, so I had an anxiety attack in a gym during COVID because I didn't really realize what was happening. I had a panic attack, which when you're in the healthcare field, your panic attacks show up as either I felt like I was having a stroke, which is really nuts, but like your body will figure out how to scare you. That's why a lot of people show up as heart attacks, because your heart rate's fluttering. You get weird signs down your arms. And, but I had a anxiety attack in my safe space, which sucked. And then I did continue to exercise, and it was really the only time I could be present. Cause otherwise my brain was racing or I was focused on how terribly I felt. Right. Whereas when I was like lifting weights, it's like, well, I was proving to myself that I was okay physically. There were a few times when my wife was like, you're okay. Like you just deadlifted 315 pounds. Like you're fine. Like you're not, your leg's not falling off. Right. But in my brain, something was wrong. So it really is, I think it's kind of one of those like Trojan horse type of things. It's like, yeah, so what you're doing right now is like, you know, this is why walking is so beneficial. Like just go for a walk, leave your phone at home, pay attention to the world around you. And it's kind of a Trojan horse into just connecting with yourself right now. And same with like lifting weights. I don't necessarily start there, but like, so I have a Slack community where all my clients are. And it is kind of like a personal development hub. I don't tell people that's what it's about, but like we do weekly goal setting. And mind, body, spirit is like, okay, what's your goal for this week for your mind? What's for your body? What's for your spirit? And then I've implemented this year is like daily 1, 2, 3, the things for accountability that you need on a daily basis. And more of my clients are practicing mindfulness in some way, shape or form. And because it's literally resetting, slowing yourself down, taking 10 to 15 minutes to just redirect, because it's like people also have a hard time with meditation. They think it's like some Zen state that you just achieve. It's like, no, my brain is like going 100 miles an hour. I'm just noticing it and then stepping back into my breath or my body or whatever, right? And that becomes really powerful as like a husband who could blow up on my wife for some stupid reason, or when we have kids, like it really just helps you press pause on your reactions, right? And that's super powerful.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I have to say, I love how accessible you make mindfulness and meditation, because I think it does terrify people, or it just seems like too big of an undertaking for a lot of folks. But again, we can be mindful doing anything. And it doesn't have to be this huge undertaking in order to start practicing mindfulness or meditation. I'm also very curious. So on Instagram, your handle is strength dot or Dave dot strength and kindness. And I'm really curious, where does the strength and kindness come from? Obviously, I get the strength, but tell us more about the kindness piece of it.
So first and foremost, it was just one of those things that like stuck. But do you guys like, do you guys know who Drake is? Do you like Drake, the rapper?
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I was in school, he came out with an album. There was a song on that album called One Dance. And he, there's a verse where he says, strength and guidance is all that I wish for my friends. I will butcher song lyrics. And I was listening to that album and I was saying strength and kindness is all that I wish for my friends. And, one of my buddies was like, dude, it's not strength and kindness, it's strength and guidance. And, so, you know, that was like, I graduated from PT school. I started working and like, honestly, like corporate healthcare, I don't want to crap on it too much. It was never the thing for me. Like I went to PT school with the intent of opening a gym. And I was a nursing assistant on the neurosurgery floor. I also was maybe going to go to med school. And it's like, what I really enjoyed about the position that I was at, like literally I was cleaning up people, like you guys cleaning up people, emptying bedpans, doing like the lowest rung of the ladder, but I loved it. And it was because I was just taking care of people. And I was just like being there when people were in a stressful time. And also there was no pressure for me to like do anything other than just be nice to people, be kind. Right. And, so like, kindness is not blowing smoke up people's ass. Like it's, you want me to tell you the truth? I'll tell you the truth, but I can still do that and be kind because honestly, it's way better to know the truth than to have your, you know, smoke blown up your butt. So when I was starting my business, I was actually Dave.prescriptionstrength for a little while. And then there was like 17 other prescription strengths on Instagram. And I knew like two of them because it's like, oh yeah, I'll just give them a prescription of strength. And I'm like, I think I'm going to change my name to strength and kindness. And, I'm like, this is stupid. And I, for probably 6 months, I'm like, this is just weird. Should I really be this? And, but it really like when you change your name, when you brand yourself strength and kindness, like you have to be kind, which is good. Cause I can be kind of a dickhead. It resonates because like you can't positively change yourself from a position of being a turd to yourself. Like growth requires self-acceptance first, right? Which is like a concept people don't get. People are just super mean to themselves and then they're wondering why they're not changing, right? Well, it's because you don't actually like love yourself. You're just trying to change yourself while not accepting the good parts of who you are, right? And then when it comes to like healthcare, like really what we need more of is like being supportive and helping people on their journey as opposed to intervening and fixing stuff and also just like claiming that we have a miracle cure for something. So that's kind of where it came from. It's weirdly like a great story, but that I didn't really necessarily think it was going to come that way for sure.
Yeah. I love so much that you talk about, you know, kindness and this idea of compassion, because I mean, most people, we really are like our own worst critics. Most people I find tend to judge themselves way too much. And I think when we can show ourselves kindness and compassion, it becomes a lot easier to show that to other people and to spread it to those around us. And when we think about it, like we know that judgment and shame and guilt, like those, that spiral, it doesn't really motivate us to change our behaviors. And even if it does get us to start changing something, it's not going to lead to lasting behavior change, right? Like we're not going to be able to stay there for long when we're just judging and shaming ourselves. So yeah, I love the strength and the kindness and the compassion piece of it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, if you talk to other people the way you talk to yourself, like you'd be like, yeah, no wonder, right? Like, you know, and then it's also weird because it's like what you put out in life is what you get back, right? And so even if you're like just generally nice to people, like the unfortunate part about that is people take advantage of that, right? And then it frustrates you. And so like kindness also to yourself is honesty. Like, if you want X result and you're not doing the things that are going to yield X result, then you have to change. And that doesn't mean you need to be mean to yourself. It just means to actually tell yourself the damn truth, right? And that's hard. Like, humans are not rational. We are rationalizers. And that's like a big thing you have to overcome as well. So.
Absolutely. So I feel like you have given us some really good nuggets of information and like tips related to mindset and kind of shifting your perspectives on pain and everything. But I'm curious if you have like what practical tips or maybe exercises would you give to individuals for them to maybe incorporate into their daily routines to improve their, you know, both their resilience or like this anti-fragile mindset, and also like better manage or kind of work with their pain as well.
Yeah. So I do want to also just say like pain is always real. Like, you know, so don't let anybody invalidate the fact that you are in pain. It's just, we want to manage the factors associated with it. And one of the cool things about like, you know, I do use like the cup analogy, right? So there's a water bottle. I don't know if people won't be able to see this, but like if your physical capacity is akin to 8 ounces and you're trying to live life where you need 12 ounces of physical capacity from a cup standpoint, you're going to get feedback from your body and your mind, right? So that's why strength conditioning, training, and you can literally build your capacity. So you meet life, that you meet the demands of life where it is, right? And like a really easy example is as folks get older, like they're less mobile, right? People, you know, you guys are familiar with like a 1 rep max. Well, imagine your mom or your grandma, like getting off the toilet is a 1 rep max squat for her, right? So that is a tremendous amount of effort that has to be put towards one task in her day. So literally, if she can turn that task where it's like getting off the toilet is no longer a 1 rep max event, it's like 10% of her max, her ability to live life is going to be a lot better, right? So thinking of yourself as like, okay, I have to do X amount of work because life is work. Like I like to say it that way too. Life is work. It's good work, but like you got to get more capable to do the work of life, right? So the practical tips, honestly, are start way easier than your perception of what you need to do. So a daily walk, if you're not exercising at all and you're in chronic pain, a daily walk or hopping on a bike ride for 15 minutes or even 5 minutes will drastically improve your health and your pain over the course of 6 months to a year. Like, yeah. And it probably will be sooner, but I'm being a little bit like cautious. Right. Mm-hmm. So the American College of Medicine's or the National Institute of Health's exercise guidelines are 75 to 150 minutes of vigorous activity, which is basically stuff that gets you out of breath, or 150 to 300 minutes of moderate activity, which is essentially like walking or like kind of gets you sweating. And then 2 strength training sessions a week. If people hit those exercise guidelines or move closer to them, their all-cause mortality goes down significantly. And those things have been associated with an improvement in chronic pain. So doing exercise that you can tolerate and that gets you moving helps you mentally and physically. It also has tremendous mental effects. So a daily walk or a daily 5 to 10 minute bike ride, two strength training sessions a week, even if that just means like you buy a kettlebell and you just pick it up 15 times and then you do some elevated push-ups. Like, you know, I work with people who can squat. I work with a variety of people. I have people on my roster that can squat almost 550 pounds. I have an 89-year-old lady who is doing balance training and she's deadlifting 75 pounds. After the first time she ever came to work with me, like it was literally like she almost fell the entire time, right? So now she's walking better. She's deadlifting. She's experiencing less pain. And it's just because we just started where she actually was and built up slowly. So like those are the practical things. Just start to get activity. Just trust that if you do it long enough, it's gonna have positive effects on your life. And then find activities that you like yoga, great activity. You know, Tai Chi, great activity. Playing golf, great activity. Like, just go do more. Like, go live life physically, and I bet your pain will be better. As long as you just trust that it's okay to do XYZ. Because there's a big fear component. Like, when I'm playing tennis and my shoulder hurts, am I doing more damage? Maybe, maybe not. You're probably not doing more damage. It probably just hurts. But, like, people get afraid of stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those are my big ones. Seek out help from people that don't scare the crap out of you or make you feel broken. That's a big part of it, too.
So important.
Yes, that is such a good point. And I also know, like, when we're looking at those physical activity guidelines for Americans, like, even just going from doing nothing to doing something, we see a decrease in that all-cause mortality. So there is, like, a dose-response relationship. But, yeah, you don't have to completely hit those in order to see a reduction in your mortality risk or, you know, in an improvement in your health.
Yeah, and I put up those guidelines just because I want people to know them. But, like, if you start out going 30 minutes a week or you just go for a daily walk, like, that's great. That's movement in the right direction, right? And direction is important. And a lot of people who work physical jobs, like, you're getting a decent amount of activity. The only thing you might need is to, like, actually do some strength training, you know, like, if you're on your feet a lot, like, or, you know, the other thing I say to people a lot of times is we are in a stage of, like, life where people are mentally exhausted, but they're physically unfulfilled. So they get home from the work and they feel like they're super tired, but really you're just bored as hell and you're tired of your job. So, like, go play with your kids, like, go do something physical, and it's not going to feel great right away, but, like, get on a bike and go for 5 to 10 minutes. And what you'll see is, like, oh, I actually physically feel pretty good. I just needed to get out of my work mode. Right. And, like, mm-hmm. That's the other thing. It's just, like, these little things compound if you just show up and do them. So, yeah. But it's hard.
It is. I think it's, though, especially nice that, you know, this episode will be coming out, you know, when it's just starting to, like, kind of warm up a little and the sun is out a little bit more, because I know for me, that's a huge motivator to, like, actually get outside and do, not that it has to be outside, but, you know, just get up and do something more physical. So it would be a good time, you know, for people to kind of start that. And also, side note, I think you put your little 89-year-old lady on your Instagram recently, and I loved it so much because I think she was doing a deadlift in the video, and I was like, holy cow, this woman is awesome. Like, it's just incredible what people can be capable of, you know, because I'm sure she didn't think that she was capable of that coming into it.
Oh, yeah. And I definitely don't tell her sometimes what she's lifting just because she can do. There's a huge mental piece to this stuff, too. It's like, mm-hmm. You'll literally shut yourself down if you don't think you can do something, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't, like, trick her in any way, but, like, I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to add, like, another 5 pounds, and she can go do it. And then I'm like, tell her what she is, and she's excited. She's, holy crap. But, like, her 89-year-old friends, if she goes and tells them, oh, I deadlifted 75 pounds, well, the first thing out of their mouth is like, and you're not hurt? Or like, and that's the type of crap that happens too, is like, we start worrying about what other people think, or mm-hmm. they're judging us because they're afraid to try. And it's like, no, just put that crap aside and do what you can do over and over again. So yeah, I legitimately love her, and it's so fun. And I mean, it's it's life changing. Like, she used a walker, at least for longer distance walks, like when she started working together, and now she doesn't use a walker anymore. Right. So
that's incredible.
And there's people who are like, well, isn't that not safe? It's like, no, cause she can walk on her own. And like, right. Using an assistive device, if you need it, is great. But like, if you can get off of it, you don't need to be bound by it your whole life. So, it's just managing all these factors for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So, for folks who want to continue learning more from you, where can they go to do that? And also, if they're hearing you talk and they're like, oh my God, I really want to work with Dave. Do you have spots available? Tell us all the things. This is like your plug zone now.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's nice to be able, small business, right? Like, we gotta help each other out. So yeah, you can follow me at dave.strengthandkindness on Instagram. Basically, Instagram is my website. I have I have a website, but it's, I need to work on that a little bit. I did it like 2 years ago and I'm like, nothing's happening on this baby. So, strengthandkindnesscoaching.com is my website. I also put out a weekly newsletter. It's very eclectic at this point, but it's mostly strength, rehab, mindset related. Getting better at writing that. I also have a YouTube channel that I've just recently got going. It's dave.strengthandkindness on YouTube. I'm putting out a podcast. You guys have helped me inspire. So I'm putting out a podcast. And then as from a client perspective, I always start people off with just an individualized consult call. That's just a discovery call. I want people to be on the same wavelength as me before we work together. So I do that. We can talk about injuries. We can talk about, I am not formally, like, I'm a physical therapist by degree and I help people understand these things, but I'm not doing any type of hands-on therapy anymore. So it's it's me helping you help yourself, and get strong. I taking clients. I love treating pain, knees, hips. I just say whole humans because when you're hurt, you're still a whole human, right? We just want to make it all make sense. So yeah, that's where I'm at. And I've this has been fun. I really appreciated you both.
Thanks for tuning in to the Give 'Em the Bird podcast. If you're enjoying the podcast, head on over to Apple iTunes or Spotify and rate, review, and subscribe. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Give 'Em the Bird podcast to stay up to date with all things GTB. We'll see you back here next week for another episode, but in the meantime, go give 'em the bird.